If you've ever had a retail job, you've likely gone through something called theft prevention training. It teaches you how to spot someone who's trying to steal merchandise and then gives you methods that you can try to subtly employ to deter them from taking the merchandise that doesn't belong to them, from stealing. At some point in the training, you no doubt heard the trainer say something like this: if anyone ever points a gun at you or threatens your life, don't be a hero. Give them what they want. Cash and merchandise can be replaced, but you can't. It's not worth losing your life over a pair of sneakers. The emphasis is in the right place there, isn't it? On the value of human life over and above these things that we cherish otherwise. But what about another situation? What about an elementary school? We're teaching children and to some extent watching over these young human lives is the job. Say someone enters the elementary school armed with a gun. Sadly, we've seen this happen in our own country. In that situation, the teacher can't simply say, it's not worth losing my life over these kids, and run when the danger comes. That's not an option. In this day and age, as sad as it is, part of the job description of a teacher or an administrator is to defend and protect the lives of children, sometimes even at the expense of their own life. In our passage, John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus says in this gospel that this is also the job description of a good shepherd. Yes, a shepherd leads the sheep to pasture. He shears the sheep. He makes sure that they have enough water. But the mark of a good shepherd is that he loves the sheep. He knows them by name. He loves them and knows them so much that he's also willing to take a bullet, as it were, to preserve the lives of his lambs. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When danger comes near the flock, the good shepherd never says, it's not worth losing my life over this. These people are not worth me losing my life. These sheep are not worth me losing my life over. His life belongs to the sheep, to his lambs, 24/7, for their care and protection. And if it comes to it, he'll die to preserve their lives. Does your experience of Jesus confirm his claim to be a good shepherd? When sin crouched at your door like a rabid wolf, what did Jesus do? Did he say it's not worth it? Did he treat you like merchandise that was replaceable, like a pair of sneakers that he could walk away from? No, he put his life between you and the beast. He took that beast on. It was too strong for you, so he stepped in. He laid down his life on the cross to protect, preserve, defend, and heal you from the killer, from sin. He wrestled death, and he won. He crushed the poisonous snake under his foot, that is Satan, who came after you to lure you away, to corrupt you, to kill you. Jesus is still the good shepherd. It's not just a once-and-done kind of thing. He's still the good shepherd. Did you know that he still gives his life for you? He prays for you in the presence of the Father. Night and day. He sends his Spirit to keep you, to teach you, to nourish you. He also gives you an earthly shepherd. That's me, yours truly. Do you remember what Jesus said to Peter? Peter had denied Jesus 3 times before the crucifixion. And after Jesus rose from the dead, he met Peter on the shore over a small fire and ate some fish. And he restored the relationship that he had with Peter. And at the same time, he called Peter to ministry. And what did he say? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Well then, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Watch over their souls. meet their needs, feed them with the truth. I'm here in a very real way among you to do the same thing, to keep watch over your souls, to meet your spiritual needs, to feed you with the truth. I'm not here to tend your gardens, to manage your investment portfolio, or even keep you physically healthy. I'm not qualified to do those things, and you wouldn't want me to do those things. I care about all of those things for you and for your benefit, but I'm here to look out for your spiritual health. I'm here to ward off evil. I'm here to bandage the wounds of sin, both past and present. I'm here to rescue you when I can and however I can from falsehood and from future spiritual harm. How do I do that? Well, just as you'd expect your gardener to know what to do about blight or a lanternfly infestation. Have you seen those? Those beautiful little bugs that will kill your trees. And just as you'd expect your financial advisor to know how to help you navigate a downturn in the market, and as you'd expect your doctor to be up on the most recent medical treatments, you should expect me to know how to care for your soul with the means and expertise that Christ gave in his word for doing that. So what is that? Prayer and study. You mean you sit around and pray and study all day and that's it? Can't you do something more helpful? Well, it's my job to pray for spiritual insight to help you as you wage spiritual warfare. I pray against the spiritual influences that might lure you or attack you. Where do these battles and influences happen? In your mind, they come as suggestions, as seductive memories, as desires, as half-truths, as impulses and anxieties. They come from every direction, in every form, to push your buttons and to push you into sin. So I study. I study Scripture and things related to it to make sure that what I'm feeding you and that what I'm feeding Christ's sheep is healthy for your mind. It's the right stuff. It's not going to lead you further astray in the wrong direction. You are being renewed, if you recall what St. Paul says, by the transformation of your mind. So I need to feed you with healing, wholesome truth that leads you into the abundance of Christ. I pray that while I'm with you, that I will pray and study well so that I can protect, preserve, defend, and even help to heal you as Christ would want me to do for you. I also need to know you increasingly as I'm among you to get to know you better so that I can offer you personal care. Please, I beg that you pray for me as often as you think of it, that I would continue to grow in all of these areas because God knows that I'm far from the example that Christ set of the Good Shepherd. Pray for me, please. There's another important principle here that we need to take a quick look at. The Bible warns us in various places about wolves in sheep's clothing, wolves that come looking like sheep. Scripture warns us about false teachers, about preachers who are in it for the money. Have you come across anyone like that as you scan the television or internet or radio? Have you heard those voices? There are people who pose as spiritual leaders who at best simply aren't available for you. They're not here to help you in your spiritual walk, to care for you in your personal needs. But at worst, they are people who see you as merchandise, or they see you as means to their own financial ends, who run when the killer enters the building. Jesus explains this. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them up and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. They run when they see danger. When your life's on the line, they say, not my sheep, not my loss, not my problem. So Jesus reminds us again, saying about himself, I am the good shepherd. Do you think the good shepherd gives personalized care or that he gives uses a one-size-fits-all approach to us. Like that unisex one-size-fits-all hat that neither looks good on a man or a woman or fits anyone. Jesus says, I know my own, and my own know me. Jesus is able to offer personalized care because he knows you personally. He knows what makes you tick. He knows your joys and your heartaches. He knows your anxieties and fears. He knows when the legs have been knocked out from under you, when there's nowhere to turn. He knows when you're lonely, struggling, hurting. He knows you more intimately than anyone else. He says that he knows you just as the Father knows him, and he knows the Father. That's deep knowledge. That's intimate knowledge. He invites you also to know him, to know his heart of love, to know his kindness, to know his desires for you, that there's always more. There are always more riches to be found in him. What a beautiful thing. Mutual knowledge, mutual love. It's possible because Jesus shares his inmost life with you. The life that he laid down for you. The life that he lives now that continues to be lived on your behalf. He shares it with you through the Spirit. As a believer, you share one Spirit with Jesus. You can't share life with someone without getting to know them, right? At least somewhat. You can't share a Spirit with someone without getting to know them and growing to be more and more like them. In getting to know you, Jesus gives you personal care, and he does so by letting you get to know him and by letting you live in him as he lives in you by the Spirit. Knowing him, being in him, having one Spirit with him is your salvation. It is your rescue from sin, the world, and the devil. Listen to what Jesus says next. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. In the context, Jesus has been talking to people in Israel. He's warning them about religious leaders who are only trying to get ahead, but who see the Israelites as merchandise, as expendable. He tells them that he is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd that Ezekiel goes on to talk about in the next portion of scripture that after what you heard, saying that I myself will come and rescue the sheep because these guys aren't doing it. He's also the shepherd that David sang about in his song. He is God in the flesh, come to rescue these Israelites from sin. But he says that there are other sheep that belong to him that still had to come. Who does he mean? He means the Gentiles. He means you. He was thinking about you even then. Imagine that. By name. The word of his death and resurrection spread throughout the whole world, and people from all around the globe have heard the gospel. And in the gospel, they have heard Christ's own voice calling to them, calling them to safety, calling them home. And Jesus is still calling sheep into the fold. He says to us here today at St. Andrew's, I still have other sheep who are not of this fold. He says, I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. The Father draws, Jesus calls, the Spirit convinces and empowers with faith, and people respond. But to paraphrase St. Paul, how will they respond to someone they've never heard of? And how are they to hear without someone telling them? When we tell people about how Jesus has rescued us from the beast, how he cares for us and loves us, how he came to rescue not only us, but everyone who believes in him, it's his voice calling out to them that they'll hear, and he will bring them in. Hearing his voice continues throughout the whole Christian walk, doesn't it? We read the Bible, We seek to hear from Christ in prayer. We follow where he leads. And even when he leads you through the valley of the shadow of death, you know he won't leave you to the wolves. He's there, ready to defend. He's there, leading you home to the victory banquet. And since that's true, you and I can encourage each other with these truths. We can witness to each other and outside of here about the good and faithful shepherd who is mighty to save, yet gentle in heart. Listen to what Jesus says about everyone who comes into the fold. There will be one flock, one shepherd. There are no outcasts in Christ's flock. There are no misfits. You belong here because you belong to Christ. You belong to each other because you belong to Christ. If you don't belong to Christ and each other yet, you still belong here because this is the great place, the best place that I can think of to get to know him. Remember, each one of us, every single one of us, has our own needs and our own struggles, but we all eat from the same hand. See each other as the one for whom Christ laid down his life. Love each other as Christ has loved you. Pray for unity amongst us and seek it. There is one shepherd, and the one who laid down his life for you took it up again. He rose from the dead to lead you to abundance and to victory. He loves you. He gave his life to rescue you, to protect you, to heal and preserve you. He doesn't see you as merchandise. He's not afraid of whatever has confronted you in the past, and he's not afraid of whatever confronts you now. He's not nervous by your sin. He's not nervous by your doubts or your worry. He loves you uniquely, and he gave his life in order to know you and to be known by you. At the communion table, he once again offers you a taste of the victory banquet that waits for you. And he offers there a pledge of his care. He offers you himself once again. As we take his body and blood this morning, let's offer thanks to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, for offering his life on our behalf. Let's pray. Lord, we glorify your name. Thank you for sending your son to be a ransom for sinners. Thank you for loving us. Help us to hear your voice, to go where you lead, to share your love with others. Help us to grow in our love for each other. And as we take communion this morning, draw us deeper into the life that we share with you. Amen.